You are told that you have a choice, left or right, a simple political binary. But what if this choice is in itself an illusion? What if both paths are merely managed expressions of dissent, leading to the same destination, a place where you possess no meaningful power? The official narrative presents you with two teams, but what if they both are administered by the same oligarchy? In this video, we will apply the lens of elite theory to expose this false binary and how it is engineered to ensure your compliance. I will show you the steps that you can take to reclaim your intellectual sovereignty. The feeling is pervasive, a constant low-grade frustration that the system is, to put it plainly, rigged. You observe the political theatre, the ritualised arguments, the outrage on social media, and it appears that we are more divided than ever. And in many respects, we are. Issues like climate change, gun reform, the role of government, race, immigration, Islam. They reveal a chasm between the stated priorities of the two major parties. This intense polarization has tangible consequences, rendering compromise impossible and accelerating the decay of trust. The majority of people across the political spectrum now feel deep pessimism about the future. The division is not an accident, it is a feature, not a bug. The entire political and media establishment is built on a foundation of managed conflict. It is a grand psychodrama staged every 2 or 4 years, where you are instructed to pick a side, convinced that the fate of the world hangs in the balance. The regime needs you to believe that the other side is not merely incorrect, but malevolent, an existential threat to your way of life. This framing is a powerful form of political technology. It creates what is known as affective polarization. It is not that you disagree with the other person's policies, the other side's policies. You viscerally dislike the people who support them. This animosity keeps us confined in our ideological pens, primed for battle that serves only to distract. But while we are engaged in this internecine struggle, we fail to see what is happening behind the curtain. We miss the quiet consensus, the bipartisan agreements, and the shared class interests of the elite who manage both teams. And that is the real game. Let us pull back that curtain. If the conflict is a distraction, what is it distracting us from? It distracts us from the fundamental issues where a surprising and revealing consensus exists between the two apparent sides. Let us call this Exhibit A, the uniparty consensus. Consider foreign policy as an example. For decades, the core tenets of American foreign policy, the maintenance of global military supremacy and interventionist networks, have enjoyed near total bipartisan support. The annual defense budget, for example, is consistently passed with overwhelming majorities from both parties. While there has been more vocal opposition in recent years, the leadership of neither party, whether it's now even with Donald Trump, never amounts to a serious challenge to the fundamentals of the military-industrial apparatus. Or consider the economy. After the 2008 financial crisis, who received the bailouts? It was not dispossessed homeowners. It was the financial institutions themselves, enabled by a massive bipartisan vote. The political class determined that these institutions were, quote, too big to fail, and the public was made to underwrite their failures. even on issues that appear hyper-partisan, the underlying consensus is telling. Take state surveillance. While civil liberty advocates on the nominal left and the nominal right raise alarms about programs spying on citizens, the legislation authorizing this surveillance is routinely reauthorized with quiet bipartisan support. What this demonstrates is that on the issues that determine where real power resides, military, finance, security, the two parties are, if not in perfect lockstep, then marching in the same direction. The choice they offer is between two managerial styles for the same system, a system that reliably benefits a small, entrenched elite at the expense of the disorganized majority. If they agree on so much, then why perpetuate this psychodrama? And that brings us to Exhibit B. The goal of the system is division. Remember, a system is what it does. Consider the analogy of professional wrestling and its principle of kayfabe. You have the heroes, or the faces, as they're known in wrestling parlance, and the villains, or the heels. They perform a dramatic spectacle of conflict to whip the crowd up into a frenzy. But at the end of the night, both wrestlers are paid by the same promoter. The conflict itself is the product. This is a powerful model for our political system. But the regime has adapted to the fact that many now see through the performance. It now has to manufacture figures who appear to be anti-establishment rebels. Think of characters on the right, Donald Trump, Nigel Farage, who are framed as populist outsiders, or critical voices on the left, Polanski in the UK, Mamdani in America now. They are presented as being heretics, breaking the mold, giving the impression that the system is being challenged from within. In reality, this is merely a more sophisticated level of the game. These figures function as containment mechanisms. They attract the energy of the disillusioned, making people feel as though their dissent is being represented. But ultimately, they channel that energy back into the very same two-party structure. It is a managed rebellion, designed to provide the illusion of change while ensuring the fundamental power structure remains untouched. They keep us arguing over personalities while the permanent structure of government makes the decisions that affect our wealth, our rights, and our future. And that brings us to Exhibit C, the true cost of this manufactured binary. The most immediate cost is political disengagement. When people perceive that their vote is meaningless, that both parties, or all parties, and their designated rebels are part of the same apparatus, they logically check out. Voter apathy is not a moral failing, it is a rational response to an unresponsive system. And while recent turnout has been high, it is driven by negative partisanship, fear and hatred of the other side, not by genuine belief. And this leads to a catastrophic erosion of trust. Trust in the media is at an historic low, as people correctly perceive it to be a partisan actor, a ministry of propaganda for the regime. Trust in government itself is in a state of collapse. This is a terminal condition for any society, as it cannot function without a shared basis of trust. Perhaps the greatest cost, however, is the suffocation of our political imagination. The persistent false binary forces complex ideas into two crude pre-approved boxes. Are you for free markets or are you for social welfare? You must choose. Are you for a strong military or for environmental protection? You are forced into a lane. This system marginalizes any worldview that does not fit into the simple left-right spectrum. Libertarians, anti-war conservatives, democratic socialists, their ideas are either ignored or warped to fit into one of the existing dominant narratives. the structural barriers of the system, the winner-take-all elections and single-member district create a powerful feedback loop that reinforces the dominance of the two-party idea, even if the names and of those parties change, even if the faces of those parties change. And this creates a state of political homelessness for a growing number of people who find their beliefs are coherent, but simply not profitable for such a machine. If this analysis resonates with you and you wish to join a community dedicated to breaking free from these official narratives, I encourage you to like and subscribe. My project here on this channel is to consistently challenge the regime's talking points and apply a critical, theoretical lens to the ideas the mainstream refuses to address. And by subscribing, you basically support this ongoing project and like-minded people as well. So what then, if anything, is the way out of this loop? The solution is to achieve intellectual sovereignty. And this is not a simple one-step fix. People talk about taking the red pill, but it's something even more than this. It is a fundamental shift in how you perceive and interact with the political world. It is a declaration of your intellectual independence. It is about seizing back the agency that the system has spent decades convincing you that you do not possess. And it begins with a few concrete, actionable steps. First, focus on principles and not parties. Cease defining yourself by a political label. Instead, construct your worldview from a foundation of first principles. Do you believe in individual liberty, as an example, or bodily autonomy, or economic justice, or community? When you begin from principles, you'll find that your views rarely align with a single party platform. And this is not a sign of confusion. It is a sign that you are thinking for yourself. This allows you to assess each issue and candidate on their merits, not through the distorting lens of party allegiance. Second, curate your information diet and support independent media. The mainstream media is the primary engine of polarization. If you consume only one news source, you are inhabiting an echo chamber engineered to solidify your own biases, and increasingly that could be a social media echo chamber, especially as in the age of slop the kind of social media teams have become ever more closely aligned with the actual media. That's something that's happened over the past 10 years. Make a conscious effort to seek out a wide range of sources, especially from obviously independent creators and thinkers who are not beholden to corporate or party interests. If they're saying something different from everybody else, those are the people actually to pay attention to and ignore the mass, ignore the baying mob. Read old books, read primary sources. This is essential for breaking down the us versus them programming that inhibits so much intelligent thought in this world. Third, engage in strategic localism. While national politics feels distant and hopelessly corrupt, you can exert real influence within your own community. School boards, city councils, town councils, local councils, parish councils. Local initiatives are where many of the decisions that directly affect your life are made. Sometimes it's boring. Politics is boring. At the local level, the partisan labels often matter so much less than practical realities. And when I say practical, it is some boring stuff, you know, who's taking the bins out type level stuff. But by engaging locally, you can build coalitions with people from different political tribes who share your desire for a functioning community. This is where real, dare I say, even bottom-up power can be built. Finally, and most importantly, reject tribalism through analytical detachment, which is easier said than done, friends. The system needs you to see your political opponents as inhuman caricatures. refuse to participate in that game. Understand that the emotional outrage is the control mechanism. The vast majority of people on all sides are motivated by sincere concerns, genuine emotions, okay? But when you discuss politics, lead with analytical curiosity and not moral judgment. You do not have to agree. By understanding the game, you dismantle the outrage machine that keeps us divided and powerless. The control mechanism, the political system, as currently constituted, is not designed for you watching this, you the people, to win. It is a self-perpetuating structure designed to manage your dissent, channel your frustration into a predictable two sides, us versus them, container, and keep you fighting with your neighbours while the real levers of power are operated elsewhere. Its primary function is to maintain stability for the ruling consensus, not to enact your will. Challenging these mainstream narratives is not about finding a magical third party to solve everything. It is about a personal and collective intellectual awakening. It is about recognizing that the false choice, including its cast of managed rebels, the family of faces, the slop merchants, all of them, is the most powerful technology used to neutralize your political agency by focusing on principles, by curating your information diet, by engaging in strategic localism, and by choosing analytical detachment over base tribalism, we can begin to break the spell. Because this is truly how the ruling class keeps their power, no matter what. We can begin to build a political culture based on critical thought, clear-eyed, value-free analysis, rather than blind loyalty and manufactured outrage. This is how we reclaim our power, and this is how we achieve sovereignty. Thanks for listening, everyone. Pick up my new book, Applied Elite Theory, available in all good bookstores now. Pick up a course here at the Academic Agency, which will help you do some of that critical thinking. It will give you the skills necessary to do that value-free analysis, and I'll catch you next time. Go on, get out. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the Academic Agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.